And we do have a speaker tonight who's going to come up, who's come along to share their experience from that with us for 40 or 45 minutes, a journey into or two into and through Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to hand you over to Helene, who's going to introduce them. So Helene, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everyone, for the meeting. I'm Helene. I'm an addict.
Hi, Helene.
Hi, everybody. I thought reading how it works will help me not to shake, but I'm shaking anyway. So I met this speaker in my home meeting, my morning meeting, probably the first one I went to nearly a year ago. And I think I spoke the first time with her when I was really keen to become the reader of that meeting, but I had to wait for 90 days. So my first interaction with the speaker was, "Not now, Helene, it's too early, wait until you're ready." And then I found out that this speaker was speaker finder. So that's how I got inspired by becoming a speaker finder. And then I got the great pleasure of meeting this person in London at the convention, and I got my white key tag from Hawaii and lovely pen, and we went on a beautiful walk, and I got to I've been feeling intimidated by this speaker, because I think she really is a strong woman that is, that is no bullshit and walking the talk, and inspiring me of all these things that that I'm willing to grow into as a woman, as a good self parent to myself, if that makes sense. So I'm so very pleased to have invited Mardi to come and share with us, and that she's sharing from her morning all the way from in the middle of the ocean. So thank you so much, Mardi, to come and share with us.
Wow.
Thanks, Helene.
Yeah, thank you so much, Helene. See, I'm already starting crying. That was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I'm an addict. My name's Mardi. Aloha, everyone.
Hello, Mardi.
Aloha. You know, it's funny. I was trying. This is the Zoom I use when I do service and some other things. And I thought, well, I should put a picture of myself. So, you know, it's so funny that we don't have pictures. And at the same time, I think it's super cool. It's a different level of anonymity in a sense, you know. I remember being, you know, early in recovery. And then, of course, I think you guys, you know, would be able to identify in in-person meetings. Sometimes in early recovery, people come in dressed for a night out or, you know, to the hilt with, you know, all the things that we think people want to see or that make us feel better because we feel so horrible inside when we first get here, you know. And here it's your name or a picture if you have it, you know. And I think that's kind of cool. It's like I said, a different level of anonymity. And I couldn't figure it out on my Zoom. And I kept finding all these pictures like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to put that picture on there. And then all of a sudden, time's up. So here we are. And I'll tell you a little story about the picture that is there. So I was in a meeting. There's a really phenomenal meeting. Unfortunately, it's 4 a.m. for me, which is a little too early. 7 is one thing. Okay, it's 7 in the morning here right now. But 4 in the morning is a little ridiculous. But there's a meeting based in California in the Pacific time zone that is 7 a.m. every day for them. And there's some incredible recovery. Most of the people there have over 30 years, some into 50 years. And, you know, and just because you have that amount of time doesn't mean you have great recovery. I'll just say that right now. But generally speaking, when you put some time together, you've had some experience that you can that you can share with others. And anyway, I popped on this meeting when I was recently on a trip because I was in the same time zone, and this woman texts me, and in the chat, and she says, "Thank you for using my artwork." And I put question marks. What? And she said, "Your screen, your profile picture is my artwork. I painted that." And I was like, "What?" I was so attracted to it. I don't know where I saw it, but it has a very subtle NA symbol in there. And it's so funny that I'm even talking about this because the SPAD for today for you guys. Oh, it's for me too. I'm in the same day as you guys. It's usually I'm at night in the JFT and it's the next day for you guys. Oh, well, then I read the wrong one. Jesus, it's the 28th. Okay. Anyway, well, the SPAD for tomorrow, it talks about the symbol in the beginning of the basic text and what the symbol means. And so she very subtly put the NA symbol in there, the diamond with the circle around it. And if you didn't know, you wouldn't know. And there's also, a peace sign and some other stuff. And I just thought it was so beautiful and I was so drawn to it. And so I told her, "Oh my gosh, well, it's so gorgeous, and I hope that I'm not, infringing upon something, or that it's not okay with you." And she said, "No, I'm thrilled. I'm honored that you're using that. Where'd you get it? I have no idea where I saw it." But funny, full circle, and funny that I'm talking about the symbol, like I said, and I read the SPAD for tomorrow, and it talks about our symbol. And goodwill and relationships. And that's usually where I end up talking about anyway, is kind of relationships and foundation and recovery. And I tend to, blow snot and cry a lot, because I'm deeply moved by, events in my life. Mostly the good stuff makes me cry. I'm a little outside of, being new. So, the damage and some of the things that I did don't, affect me the way that they used to, because I have way more recovery behind me now to reference and kind of refer to. And I guess I'll just kind of start with talking about this one thing that popped out, because I just brought it up in a sense. I already talked about, just because you have clean time doesn't mean you have recovery, right? My and then I'll say this. My clean date is November 2nd, 1992, and I'm coming up on 32 years in a couple weeks. And I read something. It's kind of funny because I live on this little teeny tiny island, and we don't necessarily celebrate recovery here like I see other places. God, I went to this meeting in Hollywood a couple of years ago, or actually, yeah, a year and a half ago. And the whole beginning of the meeting is dedicated to celebration. So they have sponsors go up, and this might be something that you guys practice, and you're like, "Yeah, big deal. We all do that." But here, I literally, we probably have 30 people in recovery here, many of which probably more than, there's more than 30, but not really, give or take. But we have a contingency of probably 15 people with more than 25 years. We have a lot of clean time here. But we don't do it like other places do. And so anyway, back to Hollywood. So they have the sponsors come up and talk about their sponsees, and say a little ditty about their sponsee and introduce them, and everybody, goes wild and celebrates. And so you have, the whole front of the room. It's a big meeting, probably, I don't know, 150 people. It's big for us. Our big meeting has 15 people. It's a big meeting, and all the front of the room is the people with their birthdays, and they bring out a cake and everybody sings, and then you can eat the cake. And it's just, it's just a huge celebration for the people, celebrating their time. And they do equally for the newcomer coming up, and they have the newcomer go through the middle of the room, and everybody stands up and hugs them. And, it's a big love fest. And, it's really inspirational, one, because you're so super celebrated for being new and welcomed. And then you are at the same time celebrated for, sticking around, because it's not something that's afforded to everyone. And if you are new, man, welcome. You're the most important person in this meeting, and we want you to keep coming back. We want you to put some time together. We want you to recover and, and have the sense of freedom that you get by staying clean. That you can't really explain, so I think that, people with time should be celebrated, because it is not something that everyone achieves, and it is not an easy feat. So I read this last week. I go to a women's meeting, and we read out of Living Clean, and we read a little subsection every week and talk about it. And every single week I say, pardon my French, I cuss occasionally. I hope that's not a bad thing. Every single week when I share, I say, I love this fucking book. Like, I just love this book. I love our literature as a whole. But I love this book. Like, in the part where, I mean, the issue for me with our literature is that it is written for addicts by addicts. So, in other words, Michael, so in other words, it's not like a scholar doing some research on addiction and saying, well, they do this and they do that and we recommend. No, it's like us. Like, I'm surprised they don't cuss in Living Clean or some of the other books. I mean, and it's written so plainly, and sometimes with such humor and tongue in cheek. I love it. And so I relate to it because we wrote it. We wrote it. And here's another thing, you stay clean a little bit and you can participate. You show up and you can participate in work groups and actually, work on some of the literature. I got to work a little bit on the J on the JFT, on the Just for Today. When I got clean, we only had the basic text. We did not even have the Just for Today. We didn't have It Works How and Why. We didn't have the step working guide. We did not have the SPAD. We didn't have Living Clean, or certainly not the Guiding Principles, our newest one. We had the basic text, and I'm grateful that I had that when I got clean. My sponsor, didn't even have the basic text when she first got clean. The draft was coming out, so people that get clean now have this just abundance of literature to and guys, the answers are in the literature. Every single thing that we need to know about anything about recovery, be it service related, personally related, step related, everything is in the step, in the literature. I'm actually going to kind of touch on that too, because the SPAD for tomorrow is really good, you guys. So the part I was going to talk about, when I was talking about the celebrations and time and sticking around, I relapsed when I had 7 months clean. Like, I'm not going to really go into the using part. I started at 13. I blacked out the first time I used, and instead of being fucking horrified, waking up in, a puddle of vomit, I thought that was awesome. When can I do it again? Like, I had no idea what happened to me, but let's go, that's not normal to wake up out of a blackout and be like, let's do it. It's normal for us though, isn't it? At least for me. So anyway, I did all the things. I destroyed relationships. I harmed myself. I I just didn't show up for life. I didn't know how. My coping skills, once I figured out how to use, was to keep high, keep loaded. And so when I went to treatment at 26 years old, I was the model, treatment participant until I wasn't, and got kicked out at 9 days left of 90 days. And then I did everything the suggestions say not to do. Got in a relationship, I moved, I stopped going to meetings, didn't talk to my sponsor, blah, blah, blah. Prior to that, I went to area service, I followed my sponsor around, I did everything I was supposed to do, the perfect little angel. And then, addiction reared its ugly head. And so I got loaded with 7 months clean, picked up an assault on a police officer charge, facing 10 years in prison. That was fun. It wasn't my first assault charge, so that didn't look good on my record. I had quite a few before. And this was kind of the culmination of my addiction. I was angry, I was violent, I was really, really, really pissed off at the world. And the cop did the wrong thing. So anyway, I ended up, getting like a year probation, no fine, no community service, which the prosecutors absolutely came out of their socks. Like, what the hell? We're talking about assault on a police officer. I wasn't supposed to go to jail. I wasn't supposed to go to women's prison. That wasn't what my path was supposed to be. And I don't spend too much time figuring out the why. I try to stay in the gratitude. So anyway, if you're new and if you're struggling and if you go in and out, don't do that. Just stay. Just sit on your hands and try to figure it out, the best that you can, because sometimes when we go out, we get another charge, and sometimes we spend the rest of our lives in prison, and sometimes we die. And I have seen it happen. I have seen it happen with people with long-term recovery that just, just once, I'm just gonna one time, or do this once, or just da, da, da. Or maybe, and I even heard somebody say this the other day, maybe I was just young, I couldn't figure shit out. I'm not really an addict. It was just that time of life, I'm older now, I can figure it out. I don't have all those life circumstances. And no, I used to work in the field, and I heard it somewhere, and I used it all the time. Once a cucumber becomes a pickle, it will never be a cucumber again. It's a fucking pickle. You don't transform backwards, there you are. And so just know you're a pickle, and do what pickles do. They stay clean. They figure it out, one day at a time. So so anyway, like I said, the newcomer is the most important person, and we really want you to stay clean and get healthy and find a new way to live. And this program and our literature and the step work and sponsorship, those are the ways that we do it. And of course, meetings. Hello, Mary. So all of that said, I read something last week at the women's meeting, and I highlighted it in 2021. Back when we were doing those fabulous regular every day, all day Zoom meetings. And it's in Living Clean, and it's out of The Journey Continues on page 220. And it's just this little teeny part, and it says, "There is no substitute for time in recovery. It gives us a chance to heal, grow up, start over, and build lives that matter to us and the people around us." And that really resonated with me, man. Like, I was like, wow. Because oftentimes, if we don't celebrate time, and if we don't celebrate the people that stick around for a little while and that, do the hard things, we don't have predecessors that have done that. We don't have predecessors that show us how to do it. One of my predecessors just celebrated 51 years a couple days ago, and he moved to this island, and I think he had like 12 years clean. And at the time, we had a very young fellowship with two NA meetings, and he came after serving on, as a world trustee. And he just like, it's funny now looking back, but we thought he just had his shit together, and he was just this guru, and oh my God, And knowing him now, man, he's just as sick as the rest of us. But he taught us one, how to stay clean, and that you could stay clean. Because I think when I met him, I had a year and a half or 2 years clean, and he taught us that you can stay clean. And he had some life stuff going on, and he had some life stuff happen before he got clean. And I just remember like having so much respect for him and just wanting to absorb everything that he could tell us about recovery and about starting meetings. We used to go, like all of us, we go Monday night AA and Tuesday night NA and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday AA. And, and he got here and he's like, why the hell do you guys keep going to AA? And we're like, well, because we don't have any other NA meetings. And he looked at us like we were crazy. And he said, so start some fucking NA meetings. And we were like, oh my God, can we do that? And so we started developing NA over here. And, prior to the pandemic on our little baby island, I live on the island of Kauai. We had 17 meetings a week, some 2 a day, because we can, and, I'll just never forget that. Like, we were like, oh, two people in a book starts a meeting, man, And so we did that, but I just remember just having so much respect for him and wanting to just know everything that he knew. And I think that's like a really important thing, and so now, having a little bit of time, I'm just Marty in recovery. Like, I have life struggles, and I show up just like everybody else every day trying to figure this shit out. I sometimes am blown doors, like, oh my God, like, how did this happen? You literally blink your eye if you keep showing up, if you keep doing, the suggestions, if you work the steps, get a sponsor, go to meetings and be in service, like. And I always tell people when they're new, and people refer to it all the time, if you keep just doing all this shit, one day you wake up and you have 5 years clean and you have no idea how it happened, and I'll have people come back to me and say, hey, guess what tomorrow is? I got 5 years clean and I think of you, because I say that all the time, man. You wake up with 5 years clean and literally have no idea how you got here, and I have 31 years clean and I'm like, wow, I have no idea how I got here. But if I look back, I've had quite the life, and it's been a full, rich, gorgeous, beautiful, amazing life with ups and downs, and just the life shit that shows up, right? So again, I think that, this particular little sub chapter in The Journey Continues, this one is Awakenings, and it really talks about, if we stay, what the opportunities are for us with continual, consistent recovery, right? The opportunities that it affords us, joy and grace, and like it says, we get to grow up, heal, and start over. And I don't know about you guys, but I needed all of that. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm still growing up. I am still trying to figure this out. I mean, I have that little girl show up sometimes, and have a little temper tantrum and behave in such a way that you would think, what the hell? But I think that's true for everybody. I don't think that's just people in recovery. Like, I just think, our little kid shows up sometimes and needs something and you know doesn't know how to act right. You know, so anyway, I have no idea why I got off on all of that, but that's the beauty of, you know, just sharing off the cuff is that it's just whatever's up for me, you know. There was this one other part in the in this even in this just particular section. It says, when dancers move through space with intention and beauty, we say they're graceful. In the same way, when we move through our lives with intention and gratitude, we demonstrate grace. And you know, I try to do that every single day. You know, every single day, I don't take it for granted. And that even makes me just tear up a little bit, you know, like because I could focus on all the shit, you know, there's shit. Life shows up, you guys. You don't get clean and have some magic wand tap you on the top of the head and fairy dust cover you. You know, that's bullshit. Like, life shows up and life can be difficult, but life is beautiful. Like every single day, you know, find that space that you can just be grateful for. You know, me, like I live in Hawaii. I live on this beautiful island that some people only dream of coming to, you know, and like I live here every day of my life. I've lived here longer than I have anywhere else, you know. I've been here, you know, 37 years or something, a long time. You know, I'm only 40, so I've lived here a really long time, and there isn't a day that goes by that I don't see where I am with gratitude. And you know, that doesn't mean that you have to be in Hawaii to see gratitude, right? Like you can find that wherever you are, you know, wherever you are. I'll use an example. Like, you know, I've gone to London 3 times because I was so blessed to find the most amazing, beautiful people in the JFT meeting, you know, and that saved my life in the pandemic. It opened a world of just talk about gratitude. Anyway, get lost on that. You know, in London, in the tube, you know, and I hear you guys talk about, oh, it's dirty and my face is black at the end of the day, and da da da. You know, I will sit in the tube and just look down, you know, the aisle. And I just look at all the people, you know, and always think about them, like, what's their story? Where are they going? Where did they come from? You know, who are they? I always do that kind of stuff. And even sitting on the tube, like, I get grateful that, you know, I'm in London and I'm in an underground, which, you know, of course we don't have here in Kauai, and very few places in America have the brilliant structure that you guys have over there. But you know, I even find gratitude there. But most of the time when I'm driving down the street and I'm just looking out the window and I'm like, oh my God, like look at this. I mean, I did it the other day driving down my own street where I live. You know, I've lived in this house for 16 years with my beautiful family, and I'm driving down my street going, God, I live here. Like, this is my street. This has been my street. This has been my street for 16 years, you know, and I was just talking with my husband about this the other day, and we've actually kind of reflected on it a few times, you know, like this is the longest we've ever lived anywhere, you know, both of us. And I don't know about you guys, but in addiction, you know, I wasn't able to stay in one place very long for multiple reasons, usually because I couldn't pay the bills. Because I was loaded, and that was my job, was to stay loaded and get loaded and find ways to be loaded. And if I had money, that's where it went. But mostly it wasn't because I couldn't, you know, pay the bills, but also because I burned bridges and I fucked over everybody that I spent any time with, usually by stealing from them, you know. And so, you know, we reflect on the fact that we've been in one space for 16 years. And, you know, so when I drive down the street and I think, my God, I've been driving down this street for 16 years. Well, more than, you know, that's how long we've lived here. We were building and owned the property a couple years before that. You know, so I've been driving down this street for, you know, better part of 20 years. And, you know, and I started reflecting, and I was sharing the other day about it, and I started crying because I was just reflecting about how many times I've driven down the street, who's been in the car with me, what, you know, what were the circumstances? Like, you know, we are babies, you know, in car seats in the back of my minivan, you know, like, you know, just all the various different times and situations going up and down the street, you know, and I'm just filled with gratitude. And I find that it's easy to reach those points of gratitude more often than it is to focus on the shit, you know. And again, you don't have to live in Hawaii to be grateful, you know. I go to Pilates, and at the end, we, you know, slowly bend over and touch the ground and stretch our back. And, you know, the instructor always says, when we're at the bottom, before we stand up and reach for the sky, she always says, thank your body for the ability to move, and for your body, you know, moving through the day, and for being the vehicle that it is. And, you know, and I mean, come on, you guys. How often do you guys think about that? Like, I'm gonna thank my body today. I mean, that's just not normal thinking for me anyway. And so every time she says that, I'm like, yes, you know. I had a back injury. I got in a car accident. And there were days where I couldn't move. And if I did, it hurt so bad. And so when she says stuff like that, I'm like, yes, because there are days that it really hurts to move. And the I just need to be grateful for my body every day, you know. So anyway, you know, wherever that place is that you can find gratitude. Do it. It's definitely a, you know, better way to navigate the planet. And I hope somebody's going to tell me when I have certain amount of time left. I didn't even notice what time I started, but yeah.
Good. Keep going.
Thank you. So I got here when I was 27. Well, I got here when I was 26. I stayed clean from 27 on. So, you know, I was fortunate to get clean at a young age. And you know, and to have the opportunity to heal my body young. That doesn't mean if you guys are getting here at an older age that it's, you know, it's too late or it's over. No, man, we can heal our bodies at any time, you know, and it's important whatever age we are when we get here that we stay. But the life that I've had from 27 years old, you know, I just turned 59, has just been like mind blowing. I met my husband in recovery, and it was a package deal. He came with a small boy, and he's now 35 years old and having a baby in the next 5 weeks, which is crazy. And then we had two boys of our own, and that has been, you know, one of the greatest joys of my life, raising kids. You know, it's interesting because I don't know about you guys, but I didn't come here with like the best information about, you know, being a mom. I had actually some really shitty information. And you know, I didn't know what to do because the information that I had, I was very clear I didn't want to repeat the examples that were provided to me. I was very clear I didn't want to repeat. And you know, I remember after I had my first baby, I didn't change his diaper for like a week. Thank God my husband was just like, I got it. I was afraid to break him. I loved him up and I was holding him, and I don't mean to say I pushed my baby away. I didn't, but I was like, here you go, and I was watching. I didn't know how to do this. We aren't born with those skills, and they're innate, but I was so worried. I just remember just bawling my eyes out, thinking I just did not want to be my mother. And I did not want to fuck up this little kid, And how do I do that? Because the only information I have is what was given. The only information I have is my story, right? My reality. Excuse me. And what happened was, I had incredible women and men in this fellowship, some with children, some without, that taught me how to do this, that taught me how to show up the best version of myself that I could. And the amount of love that I have for these babies was mind-blowing. I just didn't know that it was possible. One, and that I had it in me, because my whole existence really growing up was, protector mode. I always talk about like having this, this moat around me, this fiery moat, and that I was just not touchable. Like, I am not a huggy person. I'm not a feely person. I have, there's a Seinfeld. I'm aging myself because young people are like, who the hell's Seinfeld? There was a Seinfeld episode. He used to do one episode on one topic, and there was an episode of Seinfeld, and it was the 5 foot perimeter. And I always joke about that. You're in my 5 foot perimeter. You are too close to me. And people come in for a hug, and my hand would go up. Nope. Like, I just found that very violating, and it's just, contradictory to what we learn here and in-person meetings. Like, people love you. People are going to love on you, and they want to hug you and welcome you. And I was like, no, no, thank you. Back the fuck off. And, and I'm kind of still like that. I'm very selective. Like, I am not the, oh, I love you. No, I don't know. Sorry, I'm getting a little judgy, but I just find that not genuine. Don't come up and hug me and say you love me. You don't know me. I feel like that's reserved for like people that know each other. I don't know. That's just me, and not to, be judgy or say anything against anybody else's point of view. Hugging is great. And I know that that's part of kind of, breaking that hard exterior, and part of loving each other when we can't love ourselves. Like, I totally get that. And I'm not trying to say anything about hugging. For me, it's like, it's just still a thing that I find selective. I am not a hugger. That's okay. Hold on, I'm going to take a sip of my coffee, which is now cold, but that's okay. Anyway, so when I did get clean again, and stayed, I dove into service right away, and I've pretty much been in service my entire recovery. And I think that that is, that's one of the ways that we get to stay clean through service. And it doesn't have to be, at a regional or world level, or a mucky muck. It can be a greeter or a coffee maker, or bring the literature, or be the key tag person, whatever it is that gets you to a meeting. I mean, if you are in service, maybe you're familiar with the fact that, like, oh my God, I do not want to go to a meeting today, Like, I'm good. I just want to stay here on my couch, watch a movie, but I can't. I have to go because I made a commitment. I have I have the literature, I have to do the key tape, the key tags or whatever. So it gets us to a meeting, right? Service is so important. And this is really, for me, this is where I learned about myself. And it's not pretty. If you've been in service with me, I'm not an easy person to be in service with. I'm very I don't have a lot of leeway for bullshit. Like I'm very policy driven. I am familiar with the traditions. I'm not really, I don't bend a lot, and I have work to do. I'm not saying this is okay by any stretch. I have, there are parts of me in service that aren't good. I shouldn't say that. They're not good. They're just, there's room for growth. That's better. There's room for growth for Marty in service. But hey, I'm telling you, it's a hell of a lot better than it was. I mean, if you were in service with me in my angry days before I worked on myself, like it was horrifying. And I cared not about you or your feelings or, the outcome of my BS, today I do care. But I'm pretty straight up. You always sort of know where I'm at, how I feel or what I think. And I think on some level that's important. I'm not a people pleaser. People pleasing pleases no one and it gets us nowhere. Can we just be authentic and real? My challenge is saying things in a manner in which I can be heard. And that was, something that was suggested to me when I had about 3 years clean. Like, Marty, you got great things to say, but you have to say it in a way people can hear you because you push people away. And so that's been, kind of my eternal challenge, not just in service, but in life in general as well. But since I'm talking about service, what just happened there? Okay, 5 minutes. Since I'm talking about service, when I read the SPAD for tomorrow, this is hilarious. I just kind of want to talk a little bit about what I read because it talks about, incorporating the symbol and all the sides of the symbol in our foundation. And service is a huge part of that. So if you guys aren't familiar with the NA symbol, it's in the front of the basic text. It's funny when people do basic text studies or sometimes they just go right back to the stories, and I had a friend in early recovery and he was a counselor at the treatment center that I was in. He wasn't my counselor, but he became someone that I just loved dearly. David G passed away a little while ago, but he always used to talk about the most important part of the basic text is the first 104 pages. And I think it's changed now because of the sixth edition. That was when we had the fifth edition. But he used to say, the meat and potatoes is in the first 104 pages of the basic text. And so if you open the basic text in the beginning, and of course I don't have one in front of me, I have 17 books here, but not the basic text. But in the front, there's the symbol and it shows you, how it is a pyramid in actuality, not just a diamond. And it has all the sides and all the meanings, and it brings everything together. And so in the SPAD for tomorrow, it talks about how goodwill is our foundation. Thank you. Oh, I had it delivered to me. The foundation is a universal program. The base of it is goodwill in society, and the four the four sides. I'm sorry, the base is goodwill. The four sides are society, service, self, and God. And it's actually a pyramid. And the top of the pyramid is freedom. We've been hearing that song a lot over here in America. Beyonce, freedom, go girl. So the symbol, goodwill is the foundation of all of the relationships in our lives. And I'll just read this. The steps help us build a relationship with ourselves. The traditions strengthen our involvement with society. other members, our loved ones, our work lives, and so on. The spiritual principles bring us closer to a higher power, and NA's 12 concepts ignite and support our relationship to service. The circle that wraps around the base, which is the universal program, shows that there is room for all recovering addicts. Goodwill reinforces all this interconnectedness, and freedom is the resulting gift. Freedom is where the reinforcements have paid off and the weight has been lifted. Wow. That just gave me chicken skin, man. You know, everything in our literature is on purpose. I just think that, just take a look at that. It's so rad. And then, you know, as it wraps up in that SPAD for tomorrow. I mean, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And it's just not a coincidence that I read that and I started talking about it and I'm ending on service. So I'll just say this, you know, first of all, Alen, thank you so much for asking me to share and for being of service, and everybody here that is in service. You know, without people showing up and opening the doors, you guys, we don't have an opportunity to stay clean. You know, and again, if you're new, man, just stay. Find somebody that resonates with you. If this meeting didn't work for you, go to another one and go to another one. And we're afforded 24/7 now, you guys. I mean, this pandemic opened a world of recovery opportunity. And how blessed are we for that? You know, it changed my life, and you know, I got to go on a walk with Alen and be on trains with her and sit and have, you know, lunch and coffee and laugh. And, you know, and I see some other people that, you know, that I absolutely love that are on this meeting that I've met, as a result of, showing up at a meeting in desperation and staying because it saved my life. You know, and at the time I had, I don't know, it was 5 years, I had, you know, 26, 27 years, and that meeting saved my life, you know? You know, I just am so grateful. I'm so grateful for every day. I'm grateful to be clean. I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I am grateful for the relationships that I've, you know, developed and grown through this process. I've had the same sponsor for almost 30 years. And she's my family. You know, you guys are my family. Just don't hug me. Okay. And I'll say this and shut up. I always like to end on this, and I'm back to living clean because my God, I love this fucking book. But anyway, the very last page, the very last sentence in the little sub chapter of love, it says, no matter how far we've come or how far we know we have to go, when we live clean, the journey continues. Mahalo for letting me share.